My name is Jose Sousa. I've been HIV positive since 1985. I work as a waiter, but since 89 I've been involved in HIV treatment information, basically following drugs as they come along, and started therapy in about 94-95 with a placebo-controlled study, which was a Crixivan study with AZT3DC. Once I found out I was on not on the Crixivan, I dropped the study. I've been on and off therapy most of my 21 years infected. I was on, when I developed the lipoatrophy, I was actually on D4T for probably, I would say, a year and a half, 2 years.
When was that?
Lipoatrophy, okay, I would say about 2000 that I got the lipoatrophy, which is mainly the face, not very deep, but protruding belly, the legs, the arms, and the worst was the ass, which basically was painful to sit because I take the subway home after work, and it would be very hard to sit on the hard surface. So I went off treatment. And
can you describe when you first began noticing, and how you noticed it, and then what that felt like, and talking to your doctor and so?
Well, I first noticed it looking at the mirror and by people commenting on how my belly was getting bigger and by sitting down on hard surfaces. It was not really too traumatic for me because I knew I can stop the drugs, and I knew that if I stopped it quickly enough that it would reverse itself. I'm not one of those who just keeps on taking the drugs because your lab looks good. So I just stopped taking the drugs for a while, but I always went on and off drugs anyway.
What do you mean?
Well, I do structured treatment interruptions on a regular basis.
And why is that?
Long-term toxicity of drugs.
How does that work for you?
It works great.
You're able to avoid developing resistance?
If you do it right, you avoid developing resistance.
And doing it right entails?
Doing it right entails knowing the half-life of the drugs and not stopping all the drugs at the same time. If you're on a drug that has a long half-life, well, then you stop that one before. Like the standard now is, like Sestiva, you stop 1 week before your other drugs. And nifedipine, it's, I think, 3 days before the other drugs. But my trick is always to use Kaletra because it's got a high genetic barrier. So if you stop Kaletra, you're not—it's not really dangerous. I have some mutations, but I have mutations to AZT, and that's when I was on the study on dual therapy. And I have the 181 for the N and RTIs, and actually I was on a four-drug combo, and I just had a spike, even though I was very adherent. So stopping drugs is not the danger people put it out to be if you do it right.
That's very interesting. That's a little off topic, but it's a real concern to people, and I think the question of how people can be on lifelong therapy while minimizing the toxicity and side effects is
well, my trick was also when, even if I was like more than 6 months on a drug regimen, I would switch drug regimens during staying always undetectable, but switch the drugs. Because different drugs have different toxicities. But I actually like the D4D because it is a very powerful drug. Very hard to develop resistance to it. But when it came to the lipoatrophy, I wasn't able to accept that.
Mm-hmm. So you would say you had Not a severe case of it.
No, I would say, well, there's like the grading scale is 1 to 4. I would say it was 1.5 about.
In your face, especially?
My face. My ass was pretty bad. I mean, I was basically sitting on my bones.
And over what period of time do you lose the fat?
Well, once it starts happening, to me, it happened really quickly. I would say within 6 months, there was a very noticeable difference. But, I mean, that depends on everybody. And, I mean, some studies have shown that some people have a genetic predisposition to lipo atrophy. Well, one study, I think, only.
You're Latino?
Yeah, Portuguese.
Ah, you're Portuguese. Does that have anything to do with, I mean, what do you think?
No, I don't think that has anything to do with it.
Yeah.
It just depends on genetic makeup. There was one study that showed that people who had lipo atrophy, there was 60% of them who had this specific gene.
Ah.
And I mean, everything is down to genetics, whether you develop, whatever you develop. I believe that you're just more susceptible because of your genetics or not.
Yeah.
Including getting infected with HIV. I mean, if you have the Delta 32 deletion and the CCR5, then your chances of developing HIV are very unlikely. So everything is down to genetics.
Yeah, but what percentage of people have that?
Very few.
At what point did you stop the D4T? Was it as soon as you noticed, or was it after the 6 months, or?
About 6 months after I noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was going for an STI anyway, so I decided to wait as long as I could tolerate it, and then I stopped it. And within 6 months to a year, it was back to normal.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that there was some disagreement about whether or not lipoatrophy reverses itself. What do you think?
The disagreement is on people who are let it go very fast, a long time. I mean, if you're on D4T for 6 years and your lipoatrophy is like really, really severe, no, I don't think you can get it back. But, or maybe in 10 years you might get it back, but I doubt it. I think you've done like permanent damage.
Whereas if you stop it when it's still a mild case,
I believe if you stop it, change it to drugs that don't affect your mitochondria, something like a Bacavir, like the Tar Heel study, and there's another study, you do get it back. But it's just a long time getting it back. But these people, like on the Tar Heel study, were on D4T or AZT for a long, long time. So the faster you bring it back, the faster you stop, the easier it is to bring it back. But the thing is, there is actually no need for people to be on AZT, or for most people, if you have options, you shouldn't be on D4T or AZT. That should be left for people with no options.
Right. So when you began to see the lipoatrophy reverse itself, that was an indicator that you probably wouldn't need to have any kind of facial filler?
Yeah.
So you haven't had to have that?
No.
And
I work with a group called LipoAction, which we're trying to get it it's almost approved in Canada, Sculptra, and Bioalchemy is at Health Canada to get approval. But and we're going to try to get that reimbursed for people with severe lipoatrophy. But no, I don't think it's my case for now.
Yeah, you feel comfortable with the way you look, and you also feel that you really don't have lipoatrophy anymore.
No, right now, no.
How's your butt doing?
My butt is better. I never had a great butt, but at least it doesn't hurt when I sit.
It must have been a great relief to have it come back.
Oh, yes. Because it's actually very painful to sit on a hard surface.
Yeah. Did you try to do anything like exercise or any other...
No, I don't believe exercise will bring back your fat. Exercise just builds your muscle.
Yeah.
So exercise didn't do it. I mean, I do carnitine, L-carnitine, which helps in the mitochondria. I was doing it actually 3,000 milligrams a day about.
Back then?
Yeah.
And do you think that helped?
I think it might have a little help. I think it does help, but I don't think if you're like severe that it will help.
Yeah.
But I mean, it does help the transfer of the fatty acids into the mitochondria, into the cells. I mean, there's no good studies showing this.
Yes.
But it's basically just ate right. I take a lot of supplements. I take about 80 pills of supplements a day.
How many?
80.
80?
Yeah.
How much does that cost?
I pay about $200 a month on supplements.
What? I don't even know where to begin. That's remarkable. That must have taken an enormous amount of research.
$200 a month? Well...
No, the research and figuring out exactly what...
Well, you see, I've been in this since 1989.
Yes.
So I know quite a bit about it. I'm also on Canadian HIV Trials Network, and we review protocols. I'm the chair of the Community Advisory Committee. I'm also on the Provincial Treatment Committee, on the Canadian Treatment Advocates Council, on the Health Canada's Expert Advisory Committee on HIV Therapies. So all this research, I sort of like do it all the time. That's all I do is research on HIV.
That's remarkable. Do you also write about it?
I used to, but the bulletin that I used to write for has kind of become defunct.
What was it called?
ET.
Ah, yeah, of course.
You know about ET?
Yeah.
It's a French language bulletin.
Published out of Montreal?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what did ET stand for? Experimental treatments?
Information sur les traitements, information on the treatment of immunodeficiency.
Ah, yeah, okay. Can you tell me a little bit about the work that you're doing, trying to get facial fillers approved and also to get them covered?
Well, we started the group, it was actually Michael Hendricks who started the group, and it was in October 2003, and our first problem was trying to get AIDS groups to help us out. They used to throw out their brochures. They didn't want people to know about lipoatrophy because they thought, oh, people are going to stop their drugs, or people are never going to start drugs and they're going to die and all that crap.
Who was throwing these leaflets out?
The directors of the AIDS groups, like even drop-in centers. A lot of groups just didn't want to hear about it. They were afraid it was going to stop people from taking their drugs.
But people already knew about it. And so it seems to me...
A lot of people didn't know back then anyway.
When was this?
This was just 2003. Even doctors. It was like we made a lot of pressure on doctors to stop prescribing D4T, to switch patients from D4T. And they're telling us, oh no, there's data that shows that AZT is worse than D4T. But this was like old data done by GlaxoSmithKline. But there's been so much data since then that there's no doubt that D4T is the worst and AZT is the second worst. And DDI is the third worst. And if you mix D4T and DDI, that's even worse. But we have to convince the doctors and the groups. And now most of them are basically, they're all on our side now. They don't really get too involved in it, and they don't support us much, but at least they don't throw away our pamphlets.
The pamphlets not only warned people about D4T's effect on lipoatrophy, but also talked about
The pamphlets were more about, they had like pictures of drawings of lipo atrophy, buffalo hump, and the belly.
Crick's belly.
Yeah.
Yes, Proteus Punch.
Proteus Punch, yeah, Crick's belly was at the beginning, but we know all proteases could cause it, so it's Proteus Punch. But that kind of scared people. It's like, a lot of groups now are led by HIV negative people who basically want to hold our hand and say, don't worry, everything will be okay, just take your pills like you're supposed to. And anyway, you're better off with a punch than you are dead. The thing is, there is alternatives.
That's a very condescending point of view. And
I find that in a lot of groups.
Even now?
Even now. But I mean, now, when we're at the step where we can't ask the government yet, although we have and they've refused for the sculpture, but they can't give it to us unless it's approved in Canada. And we expect approval in May or June.
But at this point in time, there's nothing approved officially.
In Canada, the only thing we have approved is PMMA article.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually sent one guy with severe lipo atrophy for a test case to see how much it was going to cost, and the doctor was going to charge $12,000. And actually, our PMMA is an old formulation. It's not like Dr. Sarah's in Rio de Janeiro, which is a much better product.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy I talked to who had PMMA done, it basically fell, and he had this huge jawline.
Using the synthetic product that would be approved.
Yeah, because the only one thing approved in that right now in Canada is PMMA. I mean, we have Restylane and stuff like that, which don't last very long.
Right.
So it's not really beneficial for lipo atrophy.
In your opinion, what are the best facial fillers? And what would be your goal to have the government approve?
The best are polylactic acid, Sculptra, and Bioalkermit. And I believe there's a role for both of them. Basically, polylactic acid for very light lipo atrophy, because if people stop the drugs, there's a chance that it will come back.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone who's like 50 or 60 years old and has severe lipo atrophy, well, then he needs something that's permanent, like Bioalkermit.
And how does Bioalkermit work?
Bioalkermit, it basically is injected into your face, and your body encapsulates it with, it makes like a, so it's called an endoprosthesis, because your body encapsulates the gel that they put in, and it stays there permanently. But you can pierce that, the gel, it's covered with collagen, your body basically forms a 2 millimeter layer of collagen around the Bioalkermit. But if you ever need to take it out, you can pierce it and squeeze it out, kind of like you do a pimple.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's cheaper in the long term than Sculptra.
Because you don't need to have so many treatments.
Right. Sculptra, you need to have touch-ups approximately every 2 years, and there's some reports that people don't get as good a reaction from it the second time out as the first time out. Either your body stops making the collagen, I'm not sure why, but I've heard a few people saying that they're not getting the benefits that they got the first time around.
Once the public health agency or whoever in Canada approves? I mean, do you think they will approve Sculptra and Bioalkermit, both?
Canada, in that sense, it's easier to approve facial fillers than the U.S. You guys had a lot of problems with Sculptra. We don't anticipate. They've came back with some questions to the company, but we expect a May-June approval with no problems. And it's going to be not only for HIV lipo atrophy, but it's going to be lipo atrophy and general use, where you guys only have, you're only supposed to use it for lipo atrophy, although your doctors are going to use it for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But the indication here is going to be different than the indication in the U.S.
And in terms of getting it covered?
Well, that's the first step. Right now, talked to the company about a month ago, Dermic, and first step is to find out which government department is going to pay for it, because it's not the same government department, and it's different in every province. The company has to make a demand on each province to get it covered. And in Quebec, we're not sure which department it's going to be, but the company is working on that, and we're also trying to find out which department
mm-hmm.
will pay for it, because it's not the ones that pay for the antiretroviral drugs. So,
in the U.S., part of the problem is that the insurance companies claim that it is a purely cosmetic rather than a reconstructive or restorational.
Yeah, do they say the same thing about women who have their breasts removed?
No, of course not.
Or about burn victims who have skin grafts done?
Exactly. Is that also the excuse used?
Well, no, because we haven't had that excuse yet, because it's not approved in Canada yet.
But, I mean, do you anticipate that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, you do?
Because the first step will be for the company to ask the government to pay for it, which, of course, we expect a no, and then we'll start putting pressure on the government. We've already sent them a report, which is a pretty heavy report about the studies done and the reasons why lipoatrophy, and that it is due to medication, and examples of diseases like acne that they pay for, which is purely cosmetic, and ours is not. It's reconstructive.
And essentially, the difference is that in terms of reconstruction, you're bringing the body, you're bringing it back to its, like, its baseline or normal.
Yeah.
You're not enhancing it.
That's right. And that's where we're going to have a problem with public image, because we always try to get women involved so that it's not, this is just the faggots in their mid-30s who want to look beautiful. So it's a delicate situation.
Do you really think that that's part of the public sentiment?
Absolutely.
But all you have to do, it seems to me, is like show pictures of the effect of lipoatrophy to any prejudiced person, and you just say, like, I mean, imagine walking around looking like this for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and we do that. We have a few pictures, and when we've done a few demonstrations, and we show. But we need more pictures. But we don't have that many people that are willing to come out with their own faces and show it.
Yeah.
And also the feedback from the community, from a part of the community, is, oh, now you're making people identify me as HIV positive because they didn't know before, which is crap, because I'm sorry, you're gay and you've got no fat in your face, people are automatically going to assume you got HIV. It's not an education thing that people don't know about. It's sort of the controversy that you guys are having. I think it's in the southern U.S. where you're showing the reality of HIV with showing pictures of people with the facial lipoatrophy and people sitting on toilets because of diarrhea, because of the meds.
Yes.
And there's half the community which is saying, don't show that.
Yeah.
Well, here it's about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want us to show what lipoatrophy looks like, because then it's going to show that they have AIDS or HIV.
Right.
But, I mean...
And also, part of the argument has been, you're portraying people with HIV as sick, as ugly, as victimized, rather than as empowered and healthy, and, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what they say. But, I mean, we're empowering ourselves by getting ourselves fixed up.
That's a good point.
They don't see that part.
That's a good point. As we're talking, I'm wondering if you should write something for us. I didn't realize... you were as incredibly engaged and involved and knowledgeable as you are.
Well, actually, right now I don't have that much time to write.
Okay.
I have a million things to do.
Okay.
My father passed away recently.
I'm sorry.
I'm renovating his house and putting it up for sale and dealing with, I'm the secretary of the will, so I'm dealing with all of that stuff. I've got my full-time job, plus I'm doing...
Which is what?
I'm a waiter.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And plus I'm doing all this aid stuff, so it's...
Okay.
I really don't have time, but if you have any questions, you can call me anytime.
Well, one last question I have is... Well, a couple things. First, the psychological effects of lipoatrophy. I mean, do you feel that you had a window on that because you... Even though the case was mild, you still had people commenting.
No, people don't tend to comment. People are too polite. They comment behind your back. But you do tend to, I mean, I like to have anonymous sex, so I tend to go in darker places when I have a little brow atrophy.
But as a waiter, I mean, was there any, did you feel any nervousness about, like...
No, because it wasn't that severe.
Yeah, yeah.
So people wouldn't notice it to be HIV, but then again, at work, everybody knows I'm HIV positive, and they knew that the reason my face was like that and the reason I had the protease sponge was because of the meds. I mean, I tell everybody.
Yeah. And also, I guess you're visible in the community, so...
Yeah, most people know me. But we did make a survey of, it's in French, though, of the about 200 people,
mm-hmm.
members of the HIV organization here. And there is people who stop drugs, people who are suicidal, people who stop going out completely. So there is data, and not only from us, I think... Spain has some data on that too. I don't know if you read French.
No, I don't. But I was speaking to someone here who actually he volunteers at Gay Men's Health Crisis because he was on disability, and when he found out he had a very severe case of lipoatrophy, and when he found out that he was going to have difficulty getting it covered, he was just so determined that he succeeded. But it was a very long process of appealing to the insurance company over and over and over again. And really, what I mean, I think a combination of just his determination and just like forced, you know,
and also,
but also just like his, he was in psychotherapy, and his therapist had documented just the insidious effect of it, to the point where he, you know, she said that he, in her words, he had developed a real complex about it. He was his life had been severely diminished. He was unable to go speak publicly. He felt people were looking at him all the time.
Oh, yeah.
He stopped going out, and people were looking at him.
Oh, yeah, and people do stop going out. They become hermits in their own house. They feel so deformed that they stop socializing even with friends.
And that's hardly a cosmetic
issue. No, it's not cosmetic at all. I mean, when you're 40 years old and you look like someone who has cancer and in their 60s or 70s, it's not cosmetic. But I mean, they're... Insurance companies are going to try to use whatever they can not to pay, and they do that in every disease group.
Yeah.
But the more people who push for it, the easier it will become for the next generation of people who will do it. But hopefully we'll be having a lot less, and I think we are, because I think, I know patterns of prescription are changing. Even the guidelines have changed to not exclude E4T, but lists the dangers of D4T, and it's not as a first-line regimen anymore.
Yes.
So I think this problem is going to be a lot easier for us, or for the new generation of people who start therapy in North America, but poor people in the third world, who's everybody's getting D4T, that and there the stigma is way worse. That's going to be a big problem.
Yeah, it is. I've been told that actually Cipla makes a triple combo that has D4T and DDI in it. Do you know about that?
No, I heard their triple combo is Viramune, D4T, and 3TC.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it's... it wouldn't be DDI because of the buffer.
Ah, okay. But still, the D4T is going to have very widespread effects.
Very. And these people will...
How long before the AIDS look becomes easily identified?
Yeah. Well, they used to call it the slimming disease in Africa, but now they'll be able to notice it even when the person is physically healthy, but they'll notice when the person is supposed to be able to work. Before, when you had the slimming disease, you were very advanced in it and you were going to die very soon. But now these people aren't going to die, but the way jobs are hard to come by, it's going to be horrible for those people there.
But maybe now that they're healthy, when they try to stone them to death or set fire to them, they'll be able to fight back and kill them.
Yeah, but they're fewer. There's going to be more stones coming out of the than the poor people with lipo atrophy.
You're right. Are you smoking?
Yes. How can you tell?
Is that part of your... your supplements?
Smoking?
Yeah.
No, I'm not smoking pot. I'm smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. I know. Why?
Smoking pot is something that I use all the time. Well, I smoke a joint a night. It lowers the quantity of sleeping pills I have to take.
How many cigarettes do you smoke a day?
I smoke about 20.
Okay.
I quit about 10 years.
Ah. Why did you start again?
Depression.
Oh, really?
And you want to know the funny thing? My antidepressant at the time was Zyban.
Was what?
Zyban, the antidepressant.
Yeah.
That you quit smoking?
Yes.
Well, I was on it when I restarted smoking.
Is that Wellbutrin?
Yeah, Wellbutrin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Wellbutrin.
Well, it only works if you know what that you're taking it for not smoking.
Well, I knew it. It was supposed to... also help with cigarette cravings, but when you're depressed, you don't give a shit about your health.
Yeah.
You just want anything to calm your mind or to stop the negative.